I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Back after a week off, I'm Brad Locke with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps here to tell you what's going on the high school sports scene here in Northeast Mississippi. How we doing, fellas?
Doing fine. What'd you bring us back from D.C., man?
Yeah, what are the high school sports like?
Did you bring us
there?
One of those Trump 8x10s?
No idea.
8x10 signed pictures of Trump? Were they selling those on the street corners?
Oh, they were selling all kinds of Trump stuff on the street corners, okay. among other things. Yeah, I had a good trip there to Washington, D.C. with my son and his 6th grade class. I got to see some things I hadn't seen before because I'd never been there, so it was nice.
It's a great place.
Cool place.
Yeah, it really is. It's just like the whole city is just like one giant historic monument.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's really cool. I mean, everywhere
much,
you go.
Much like Tupelo is.
Yeah, really.
All right.
Yeah, Tupelo's like one giant Elvis monument.
There you go.
But anyway, now let's talk some high school sports here. We got a lot to get to. We got some baseball, got some softball, got some football news. We're going to have athletes of the week, as we always do. And just a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps, and there's a variety of ways to listen to this podcast, of course, in iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, there are plenty of podcast apps you can use to access the show. We're in Google Play as well. And you can stream it online, preprally.djournal.com. So let's start with baseball. It's playoff time, fellas. We're into the postseason finally with baseball and softball. And let's hit baseball real quick. They're not back in action, I think, until Friday. But we had the first round for most people wrapped up over the weekend. Did have a game last night. Ripley, we'll get to that. Let's start with just looking ahead to some notable matchups. A lot of area teams still alive. Again, it's early. TCPS, the reigning state champ in 1A, will take on Myrtle, which could be a pretty good series. I don't know exactly what Myrtle's got this year. They're usually pretty good. I know TCPS, I guess, is good as you would expect.
They ran through their division.
Yeah.
I saw them beat down Biggersville.
Yeah, I think we'll eventually see just a prediction. Probably TCPS Smithville playing somewhere down the road. I hadn't looked at the bracket, but
That's a pretty good safe bet there, Gene. You get in 2A, you get East Webster and Baldwin, another matchup involving two area teams. In 3A, this could be a good one. USITE, first time in the playoffs, apparently. I didn't know that until we wrote about it. But they're going to take on Nettleton.
Right. USITE won its first series, took two from Eastside, and plays Nettleton. I believe game one's at Nettleton, and they were trying to move it to Thursday. So we'll see. We're still waiting around for some of these moves. A lot of people now, they were moving because of proms. Can you believe that? But they were also now they're also moving because of the possibility of bad weather over the weekend. And David Wheeler, who works with his favorite subject, pitch counts. And so if you go into next week playing, you're going to lose some pitchers.
Yeah.
Because the next round starts up again next Thursday. So hate to be playing Monday and Tuesday next week.
You've got those new pitch count rules in effect this year, don't you?
They're kind of complicated. I just look at them and I say, hey, those are the coach's problems, not mine.
Yeah, exactly. Proms. I mean, come on. Baseball, playoffs, or prom, which is possibly one of the most overrated teenager experiences, but that's another matter for another podcast, I suppose. USITE, Wesley McCullough, former Tupelo standout, coaching that team now.
Yeah, great guy, great coach, and has really got that program going.
4A, we got Ripley and Amory. Ripley wasn't able to finish up its series. It's first round series until last night, Gene. But they got it done. They won in three games. They won in three games over League Central, and
they've got in the first one.
Lost first exactly. One at home.
So they get to play Amory. Another nice matchup of two teams from the area in 4A.
Yeah, great area matchup. We like those.
Ripley. They dropped that League Central game, which was pretty surprising because Ripley, they had 20 wins this year.
They're a good team.
Seed.
That was only their second loss of the year, wasn't it?
Third loss. I think they lost to Oxford or something at the very end of the season. But, a really good 5A team.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Losing is not something that they've really done this year. And, I talked with their coach after the game. He was like, we have not played well for a month now. you know, our guys' heads are just not in it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this it's kind of jumps them back into reality that we're not unbeatable.
Yeah.
And looks like they did is they went to League Central, won that game, and then won last night as well.
Right. Then in 5A, speaking of Oxford, they're going to take on Ridgeland. So two traditional powers there in 5A will square off this weekend. And then in 6A, Tupelo, Gene, going to take on Warren Central.
Tupelo got a week off. They got one of those first-round byes for winning the division. They'll play Warren Central. Warren Central it benefited from these horrible first-round matchups, these play-in matchups. They played Jackson Callaway and beat them 10-0, and I believe like 19-0. What does that tell you?
Oh, and by the way, did I see – was this a misprint? TCPS in the first round beat somebody 29-5 or something? Was that a typo?
I don't know. No, that was correct. I remember that. Yeah.
I did not see that.
I'll tell you the
good
craziest
heavens.
Let me tell you about this. Starkville baseball, and I haven't kept up with Starkville this year, play Jackson Murrah.
Yeah.
Not a baseball power.
No.
Don't want to play them in basketball.
Nope.
But you want to play them in baseball. Well, I think Starkville won game one like 13-1. Then they lost to Murrah 13-12, and then turned around and beat them like 25-0 in game three.
Jeez.
I mean, what in the world was up with that series?
Yeah.
What in the wild, wide world of sports? Oh, man, it is crazy. But, yeah, Tupelo will take on Warren Central there in 6A. So all these series start Friday, correct?
Well, Tupelo's series.
Thursday.
Yeah, that, Tupelo may move its series back with Warren Central. They were still working that out this morning. That you could see that series moved Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
And then not play Saturday, but just and wait till Monday.
We missed Corinth-Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Good 4A
Corinth
area
and Houston.
Matchup. I saw Houston last week. They got Tanner Smith and Luke Hancock, two unbelievable players in the area.
Two Daily Journal All-Area players from last year. And really phenomenal players.
Phenomenal guys.
Houston, a reigning state champ there in 4A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I talked with their coach last week. You know, he said, I said, you know, it was kind of the mindset after they beat Lafayette. And he's like, you know, it's funny. We're this late in the season. I haven't figured our team out. You know, I don't know which team's going to show up, but it's been showing up well so far.
Yeah, certainly. So lots of baseball playoff action this weekend. Look for our coverage in the Journal and at djournal.com. Let's talk softball. We're in the midst of the second round this week.
Second round, we had a lot of game ones last night.
Yep.
Games two and possibly game threes are Thursday night. I wish people would start a little earlier with that game two. You know, they starting at 6 o'clock with game two. Those yet game three, the if needed game, getting over with like 10:15 or 10:30. That's not good for newspaper business.
No, it's not. So we had a bunch of game ones on Tuesday. We're going to talk about a couple of the games you guys covered in a moment, just to go over some notable results. Though Smithville, no surprise, they beat Pine Grove in game one. West Union beat Wheeler. Hamilton beat Myrtle in extra innings. Those are all 1A games. 2A, East Union a winner. Actually, East Webster went ahead and played two, so they're done. They swept Leland 18-1 and 21-2. So
I hope they fed them supper.
No need to delay what was, I guess, inevitable there. Mantachie and Baldwin also winners in 2A and 3A. Nettleton and Boonville both won their first games. 4A got Houston Lafayette both winning. 5A, Saltillo defeated Center Hill in game one. And 6A, Tupelo, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Tupelo losing. In fact, let's go ahead and transition into that. Tupelo lost game one, Gene, to DeSoto Central on Tuesday.
I hadn't really been keeping up with 6A softball. I have covered Tupelo a couple of times this year, actually three or four times. And Tupelo's had a good year. Dana Ray is doing a great job with that program. He's got some really good players. But, boy, DeSoto Central, they are 21-5-1 now. Ties in softball. Come on now. Anyway,
there's no DeSoto tying Central, in softball.
DeSoto Central is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They left 13 runners on base last night and still scored 10 runs and beat Tupelo 10-3. Mm. And their pitcher, somebody told me DeSoto Central's pitcher was coming off some kind of knee injury or something from the year before. So she was really effective at times, and other times she was having some trouble. But anyway, DeSoto Central has certainly got the upper hand in that series as they go back tomorrow to play game two at 5 o'clock up in South Haven.
That was Sterling James is her name, the pitcher?
Yes.
Yeah, and they also got four hits from Kelly Newman, so DeSoto Central.
She's
yeah.
a sophomore, and she is about a girl, skinny, about 6 foot tall. She was the catcher. Huh. This was her first year to catch, and the coach says she's an athlete. She's a volleyball player.
Yeah.
And she's phenomenal. She was ripping the cover off the ball last night.
So Tupelo's got to come back and win games two and three on.
Yeah, they got to sweep them up there
on the road.
Big task.
Yeah, certainly. 3A Moorville, the traditional power there. Blake, you were out there in Springville as they took on South Pontotoc in game one there. And no surprise, Hallie Donald, the reigning Daily Journal Player of the Year, comes up big, doesn't she?
Yeah, you know, I mean. How many times have you heard that from Orville, right?
Right.
Over the years. But, yeah, you know, they're down. South Pontotoc jumped on them early. They got an early 1-0 lead in the first inning. And, you know, in the fifth inning, Orville, they had like three hits, nothing going well. And then Donald steps up to the plate, rips a double that, I mean, you know, one more foot, it would have been a home run.
Yeah.
She brings home Madison Walton. She gets on second and then eventually comes home herself. Next inning, Moorville gets three more runs. Next thing you know, it's 5-1 and South Pontotoc run out of time.
Yeah. South Pontotoc, though, I mean, they put up a fight. And that's a pretty solid program Adam Patterson's got there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what me and Patterson talked about last night was, he's really happy with how his team competed and fought. I mean, you know, they had Moorville down 1-0 in the fifth inning, which doesn't happen often. They loaded the bases with only one out in the third inning, and South Pontotoc got them off the field without giving up a run. And, you know, I talked to Patterson about it, and I said, that probably hadn't happened at all this year.
Yeah.
You know, Moorville, when they get people in scoring position, they bring them home.
Sure.
It's hard to believe Hallie Donald's high school career is coming to a close here in the next couple of weeks. I can remember picking an all-area team, 5 years ago. I was asking Perry Wilbur. I said, who's your best player, Perry? Got to have somebody. And he went, I guess it'd be my eighth grader. You know, that was Hallie.
Hallie Jones, right?
Yeah. Going to Jones. Yeah, Jones is kind of like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, they're number one in the country, last I checked.
Yeah,
Jones
is.
Yeah.
I think they had dropped to number two when ICC had beaten
them. ICC did split with them. Yeah. Hallie Donald, she's a heck of a player. And so Moorville will try to wrap it up Thursday at home. And, South Pontotoc can get a win, too. That's a tough task to ask, especially at Moorville. Moorville looking to advance Thursday. And you look for all our softball coverage in the journal and at djournal.com. Let's talk some football, fellas. Got some off-season coaching moves happening. Sticking with Moorville, John Keith, just one season at his alma mater.
Correct.
Had a good year. He's gone. He's resigned.
Yeah, Moorville's going up to 4A. I don't know how that figured into John's decision.
That's going
to
be tough.
Obviously, for whatever reason, John thought it was time to step down. I would think that he might be returning to Tupelo. That's just speculation.
Well, that's where he was prior.
You know, and I know him and Trent Hammond are good friends. There is a job opening there.
Michael Campbell, he left to take the head coaching job at Smithville.
Yeah, nobody's willing to talk about it now, and I understand that. You have to have school board approval and all those types of things, and people are just kind of leery. But, I know Tupelo High would be happy to have Big John Keith back, and I know Moorville hated to lose him. But
he was a offensive coordinator, co-offensive coordinator at Tupelo previously.
He was, and he was the associate head coach.
Right, right.
And he had been with Hammond since Hammond was in Amory.
Right, right, right. And Michael Campbell was co-offensive coordinator, I know, before he left for Smithville. So that would be a good
Cody Stubblefield, who's still on the staff from Lafayette.
Well, that would be a natural fit, at least, and we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think there'll be any surprises there, but you never know. But
sure.
John's an excellent coach, and he's really a great person, and I think that's why it's a big loss for Moorville and a big gain for whoever hires him.
Yeah, they had a, I think, 6-5 record after going 3-8 the year before. Went
4-1 in a playoff game.
Yeah, went 4-1 in division, had a really good season. So we'll see who Moorville can get to replace John Keith. And we mentioned Michael Campbell going to Smithville, replacing Chad Collins. who left for
Raleigh.
Raleigh, there you go. Had blanked out for a second. So he's taking over a strong 1A program, and, you know, he did a good job at Tupelo.
Yeah, obviously. Michael's a guy that's moved around a little bit here in the area, though. And I think he had been at New Hope, and, you know, he was at Tupelo. And it's a chance. Michael's probably because he moved every couple of years, it kind of kept him. He was going as an assistant. And this was the perfect opportunity for him to be a head coach. And I know he's really fired up about it and looking forward to being the boss and heading up things. And he'll do a good job. Smithville's a great program, has been for years. So he's not going to have any shortage of kids wanting to come out and play football for the Seminoles.
Right. Let's talk a little football recruiting, why don't we? Blake, never a bad time to talk about that. You got a story coming out on a couple of Pontotoc kids. That's what we're going to talk about. And they're getting some interest from schools. Who are we looking at here?
Yeah, I actually just filed it. So nice. It'll be in there tomorrow, maybe even online today. Who knows? Cole Smith, offensive lineman for Pontotoc. He is playing offensive tackle. He's got an offer last night, actually, from Mississippi State. Is committed to LSU. He's got offers from Oregon and then a bunch of other group of five schools like Troy, South Alabama, Southern as well. So he's got a number of offers, but two SEC ones. A interesting thing, you know, when I talked to him last week, he hadn't gotten that Mississippi State offer, but that is where his father went. So we'll see how that kind of changes things. Told me last week he actually grew up an LSU fan, though.
Interesting.
Said he loves Coach O, fiery guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he said he's very much committed to LSU. They want to move him to center, something that he said he's always been willing to do and is working on right now. And Jeff Carter, Pontotoc's head coach, said, you know, we might use him at center this year as well.
Yeah, that's interesting dynamic there because, you know, as a high school coach, you want to get your kids ready for that next level and prepare them the best you can. But you also want them to be able to use them the best way you can to win games.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, well, is this kid best for me to play tackle, but he's going to be a center in college? So that's sure it's a balancing act that you have to find as a coach. But a kid this talented, I'm sure wherever you put him, he's going to be good.
Anywhere. You know, big 6'4 guy. So, you know, in 4A, he's just going to push people around anywhere on the line.
And Pontotoc, they lost some people. They're going to have to break in a new quarterback, aren't they?
Yeah. Brand new quarterback. I talked with Carter last week. You know, he said we haven't really decided on who it'll be. And I talked with Cole about it, and he said, you know, this is where me as a senior, I got to step up.
Yeah.
We got to be a leader. They lost 22 seniors from last year.
Wow.
On a really good 13-2 team that went as far as Pontotoc has gone in 20 years.
Yeah.
So they have a lot to replace, but they have Gabe Hardman, who I thought was maybe the most underrated running back in the area last year. Yeah. He was a great guy, and, you know, Carter said we're going to have to rely on him a lot. And another guy who's also in the recruiting story for tomorrow, Austin Morfis, who, you know, I kind of tied it together that Cole Smith is thinking about making a move for college. Well, Austin Morfis benefited from a move, moving from running back to wide receiver, which Jeff Carter believes has helped him get the D1 recognition he believes he deserves. He had 10 touchdown receptions last year. He had, like, I think, 950 yards receiving.
Wow.
In the first year move to wide receiver, he's got offers from, I think it's Troy, South Alabama, and Marshall. And, of course, you know, we saw Montario Hunt, a wide receiver in the area, go to Marshall past year.
Sure
so,
did.
You know, they're tapping into the area. But, Pontotoc, two D1 kids on their team coming
not,
back.
Not something year. You used to could say about Pontotoc. So, no. Jeff Carter's doing a good job there.
No, I think Carter has to be one of the best coaches in the area.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Talking about a guy that waited a long time to become a head coach, he's certainly making the most of it. I mean, should have been 1 year ago.
Yeah, certainly. So look for Blake's story there in Thursday's Journal and at djournal.com. Let's close out the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing a male and female athlete for their feats on the field of play. Let's start with the female athlete, Gene.
That would be Katie Reeves, the senior first baseman from Tupelo. Katie said she had been in a slump. I don't really think she had been in a slump, but she broke out of it last week in a playoff game against Starkville. She went 3-for-3 with 5 RBIs and hit a 2-run homer in the first inning. It kind of got the game rolling Tupelo's way. So Katie Reeves, player of the week, female.
Male athlete of the week.
Jess Medlin from Ripley.
There you go.
No one particularly had a good game in game one against Leak Central.
They lost.
They lost. He came back game two, pitched on the road at Leak Central, 15 strikeouts, and also hit a home run in the 6-0 victory. And then they came back and won last night as well to clinch the series. And now moving on to Amherst.
Jess Medlin, he's very good.
Very good, good pitcher. And awesome hitter as well. He's one of their best hitters.
Yeah, so athletes of the week, Katie Reeves of Tupelo, Jess Medlin of Ripley, congrats to them. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Again, we're a weekly high school sports podcast coming to you every Wednesday here at, you can find us on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Gene's on there at Gene Phelps. Blake is at Blake Morgan DJ, and I'm on there at Brad Locke. So that's it. Be sure again to follow our softball and baseball playoff coverage and all the other postseason coverage. You got tennis and golf and whatnot going on right now. So check it out in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.